I'd like to ask for prayer for a young lady this morning. And I just want to pray corporately for a young lady that I work with. She's in a coma. She was in a car accident on New Year's Eve night. She was hit by a drunk driver. She's 19 or 20 years old. We're living in what the Bible calls the last days. And last simply means the terminal point. We're living in those times. We're living in those days of the last day. So if you would, just please stand. Let's all stand and let's pray for this family. Let's pray for this girl. God is good. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to pray. Her name is Jennifer. Father, I thank you for Jen, Father. That, Lord, you would move, that you would touch, that you would heal first and foremost, that you would save, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That you would bring her out of a coma so that she can hear the gospel, Father. Yes. And she can be saved, Father. And does her soul can be saved and everything else will fall into place, Father. And Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over her in Jesus' name. And we declare, Father God, your goodness and your grace over her life, Father. And we ask you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We are living in the last days. How many know that? We're living in what the Bible calls the perilous times. We're living, last simply means the terminal point. We're all pressed. We've all had pressures in life. We are living in the last of the last days. You look, turn on the news and it's nothing but bad news in a hurry. This child got picked up. This child got ripped. We're living in the last days. I'm going to talk about the last days today, but it's a little bit of a twist on it, because all these things are happening, all these circumstances around us, the pressures that we're being pressed beyond measure. The Bible talks in Revelations of how the enemy's trying to wear down the saints. He's trying to wear us down. But right in the midst of these perilous times, right in the midst of these things, turn with me please to 2 Timothy. I want to read this first, because I want to set the tone for the service that we're living in times of perplexity. We're living in times of uncertainty. You might go into work tomorrow and lose your job, but we have a God that is faithful. We have a God that is going to move by His Spirit, despite of what the papers say, in spite of what some of the church people say. God is going to move by His sovereign Spirit. And we must expect it, and we must just flat out believe that He's going to move by His Spirit. And when He begins to move by His Spirit, things are going to happen. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this. I'm going to read the whole kit and caboodle. Yes, I am. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All the parents said, amen. And even teachers, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Isn't it amazing that anything that's good people despise these days? Amen. And the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. We're living in that day, my brother and sister. What's heart-wrenching is when the church calls evil good and good evil. That's what's heart-wrenching. When the church calls truth evil and heresy good, we're living in that day. Brother Sean, you're touching on, I'm just speaking the truth. Let a lie where it lies. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're living in that day. The playoffs are fixing to happen. We're going to have a Super Bowl come up pretty soon. And churches are going to close their buildings and not have a normal service, but they're going to have a Super Bowl party. Let me explain something to you, my brother and sister. I like football. I love to have a good time. But I'm not shutting down church service to have a Super Bowl party, because we serve a super God who deserves our praise, who deserves our honor, and we need to hear what the Spirit has to say into the church in these last days. We don't have time for a Super Bowl party when we serve a super God. We need the super God to interrupt the Super Bowl party and see a move of God's Spirit. We say with one part of our mouth that we want to see a move of God, but our heart and our actions determine something else and show God something else. Thank you for the amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such from such turn away. We're living in a day where I'm positive. I'm not going to talk about sin, but I'm going to be positive. It's a form of godliness, but there is no evidence of power. There is no deliverance. There is no manifestation of God's healing, miraculous healings, and God still is a healer in the 21st century. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We're living in that day, my brother and sister. People will pick up the Bible and they will learn, but they will never come to the knowledge of truth because they don't have the Spirit of truth living in them. Thank you for the amen. I just read it to you. It's in black and white. Argue with the Word of God. This Word will change us. It will rearrange our priorities. It will rearrange our hearts if we allow it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, and patience. Persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. And y'all can correct me later. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Let me tell you something. We have a delivering God. He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. It doesn't matter what we're going to face. He's going to deliver us. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're living in that time right now. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child, some of you in here, from a child, thou have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It all has to be wrapped up in Jesus. Thank you for the amen. Not in a church, not in an organization, but in Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, excuse me, in righteousness. In what? In righteousness. When's the last time you went to a righteousness meeting or seminar? I've never heard of one, to be honest with you. We have prayer seminars. We have get the Sword of the Spirit seminar. We don't have righteousness seminars. Because when we start dealing with righteousness, we start dealing with self. And people don't want to deal with self. And we need to deal with self. And we all of us need to look into the mirror itself and say, you're going to obey what the scriptures say by the help and grace of God. We don't need to just talk about doing certain things. We just need to do them. James says, be not hearers only, but doers of the word. We're living in a time where all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me tell you something. When the Word of God comes to you, when it comes to you, when it hits you hard and it's correcting you, that's a good thing. That's a godly thing. When your wife or your husband says, hey, honey, did you pick up your Bible today and read it? And you get aggravated and you get irritated at them, that's not a bad thing. That's a good, holy thing because they're trying to encourage you to do what is right. I mean, some people can just call on the telephone, hey, you want to go shopping? Boom, they're gone. And the lady said, amen. Us men, the call, hey, you want to go fishing? We're gone.
Amen.
But we ask each other, hey, did you read your Bible today? Did you study God's Word? And sometimes we all come up with an excuse because we didn't deny ourselves that day. We did what we wanted to do. And it's time that we do what Jesus wants us to do. And it's time we do what the Spirit wants us to do. The Bible says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let me tell you something. We're living in that day. We're living in that day where people can turn their back from God and believe a lie and believe a doctrine of a devil and turn their back on the wonderful, merciful, loving Savior that we have and follow sin and follow self and follow Satan. We're living in that day. We've seen it in our own church. We've seen it. People turn from righteousness and choose sin over righteousness in our own body. And it's heart-wrenching. It's repulsive. It's sickening. And it's devastating. and you have to stir yourself up. And that's where the rubber meets the road. The rubber meets the road, and you've got to have God for yourself. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Why do men say that? Because not all men are going to follow Jesus to the end. Amen. See, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to endure until the end to be saved. I just don't come up here and say a sinner's prayer and that's it, it's done. I'm sealed, it's done. I'm going to heaven and go live like the devil. That's some doctrines teach. That is heresy. Thank you for the amen. God is coming back for a people that is pure, that is clean, that has been washed in the blood, that is living in righteousness. But we're living in a time where God's Spirit wants to move. When God's Spirit moved, it formed this earth, my brother and sister. Before Moses was, Jesus said, I am that I am. God, the Spirit of God brooded over this nation, over this earth. And it began to form, and it began to carve out mountains, and it began to do things. And God's Spirit wants to do some things in our midst. And God's Spirit wants to do some things in our lives. And God's Spirit wants to save our children. Amen. Right in the midst of this ungodly and perverse, wicked generation, there's a promise. There's a promise of God's Spirit. There's a promise of an outpouring of God's Spirit. And I know that if there were other people here, they wouldn't want to hear me talk about this message because they would rather hear me talk about judgment. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to take care of His judgments. And God is going to take care of His Spirit moving too. God made a promise that in the last days, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Old men are going to dream dreams and young men are going to see visions. This is God's holy work. Brother Mike, you can expect to see God's Spirit move in the classroom. I want you to expect it, my brother. Those of us that have unsaved children, I want us to begin to expect and begin to declare the Word of God over them and declare that they're going to prophesy. And some of us older people are going to dream dreams. And some of us younger men and women are going to see visions. Why? Because we're so holy or because we're so righteous? No, because God's Spirit wants to move. I just feel that God, it's like a floodgate just wants to burst forth. And Brother Venable said this morning, there's like a heaviness. Whatever it is we need to get it out of the way so God's Spirit can move. Listen to me. There are people that don't come when I'm preaching. It's okay. I've come to accept it. I don't want them here. Brother Sean, why? Because I want to see God move. I want to see God's Spirit move. That's hard, Brother Sean. No, Jesus did it. Jesus went to the little girl that was dead. The people were in the room. They were laughing at Jesus, and He told them to get out. Let me tell you something, my brother and sister. I want to see the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God to be able to have His way and to be able to move however He wants to move in our services. And if they don't want to be here, I don't want them here. I'm not being hard. I'm not being harsh. I want to see God's Spirit move. If they don't want to be here, let them go home and watch the TV. And when God's Spirit begins to move, they're going to come back. Turn with me, please, to the book of Joel. I'm not being hard. I'm not being critical. At first, when I first started ministering, the first Sunday of the month, yeah, it bothered me. I'll be honest. But you know what? God began to stir me and God began to show me some things. And not everybody's going to receive a young man, especially a young man that grew up in the church. But I'm okay with that. Because I know God's hand's upon me and I know God's favor is for me. And I know there are those of you in here that are going to listen to God's word. And there are those of you that are going to correct me if you need to correct me. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people that don't want to come. Let them stay home. I'm going to see a move of God. I'm going to see my children saved. You're going to see your children saved. We're going to have a Sunday school department if we just allow the Spirit of God to move. We're going to see people come through those doors and get saved if we just allow the Spirit of God to move. And He wants to move. Oh my God, He wants to move. Oh, God so wants to move. I don't think you heard me. God so wants to move. He longs. He doesn't wish that any perish but all come to the knowledge of truth. If there's anybody that's unsaved, all they're going to do is call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. And I'm telling you, God wants to move. I enjoyed myself today over in the portable. Didn't take a nap like some of y'all thought. I was dancing and enjoying the Lord, and I got a second wind. God's healing me of this cold that I had. Yes, I had a cold, but I prayed, and my wife prayed, said, honey, it's going to be okay, and that encouraged me too. I love it when my wife talks like that with faith. It just encourages me, like, to no end. Joel 2:28 says this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your son, let me tell you something. When God said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, when God's spirit begins to draw people, I don't care how far down in sin they are, God's spirit is going to break yokes. God's spirit is going to deliver. God's spirit is going to set free. I did not say the church. I did not say AA. I said God's spirit is going to set them free. God's spirit is going to do the work. We had the most wonderful Christmas in my home for the first time. There was no arguing. There was no bickering amongst the children and myself. We had a most wonderful Christmas. And I'm going to tell you something. To my mother-in-law, it was a testimony. She told me before she headed back, she said, Sean, that was the best Christmas I've had. And this is a woman that's been married for 20 years. And I didn't talk about Jesus. Not one. All I did was go take. I was putting speakers in my son's car. That's what I was doing on Christmas Day. Then I came inside and we ate. And then the kids, you know, kids, they got to go hang out with their friends because they don't like to hang out with us old folks. But God is doing something in each and every one of us by His Spirit. There is something that has changed, I believe, in each and every one of us. There's a deeper hunger for God and the things of God. And it's not as in times past where I'll use Brother Mike because I love my brother, where, you know, he gets hit by the Spirit of God and runs into Sister Venable from the piano and hits the stage and falls out under the power of God. You know, and all that's fine and all that's good and all that's wonderful. But we've come to a realization that God's Spirit, oh, it's so mighty. God's Spirit wants to move and wants to brood and wants to manifest. Wants to manifest in each and every one of us and through us. He did not give us this to lie dormant. He gave it to us so we can work while it is day. Because the night's coming when no man can work. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and wonders in the earth. Let me explain something to you, my brother and sister. There are some things that God can't show us yet because other prophecies have to be fulfilled. But there are other things He can show us. He can show us our kids getting saved, delivered, and set free. And our loved ones. You might not have a kid out there. You might have a husband. You might have a wife. You might have other friends. You might have a mom. You might have a dad that needs Jesus. I'm telling you, God's Spirit is omnipresent. And He will go after them if you loose Him on them. I'm telling you, He will go after them. Our oldest son cannot run from the Lord. He can run, but everywhere he goes, there's a wall. Everywhere he goes, he's reminded. He told us one time, I can't get away, and that's a good thing. I don't want him to get away. I won't tell you what else he said because he was a little inebriated, but Brother Sean, your son drinks? That's what sinners do. Thank you for the amen. I don't buy it for him. Unfortunately, I deal with adults in Land O'Lakes that do. That's my life. Come walk in my shoes and deal with some of the things I have to deal with and trust God with. I used to fight with my kids to come to church, as my wife can witness. And I used to get vehemently angry. And I'm going to tell on myself. And I was vehemently angry one day and the Lord said, do you think they want to come to church with you acting like that? And I had to walk outside and I had to look myself in the mirror. And I didn't even tell my wife this. And I said, Lord, no, they don't. And he said, and I was convicted. And I was spanked. And he said, how big am I? And I said, well, you're big. Then let me work. Sometimes we need to get out of the way so God can work. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, okay. You want to work? That doesn't mean I don't want them to come. You see, there's a time and there's a season for everything. That doesn't mean I don't hold the standard in my home. But it is not worth it for me to get all in an uproar at home and then be on the way to church and be aggravated and then come in here and try to sing the high praises of God and come to walk up to Brother Mike. Hey, I love you, brother. And I just had it out with my sons or my daughter. That was hypocrisy and hypocritical. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I had to ask my children to forgive me and my wife to forgive me. And he's still working on me. Got a long way to go, but he's still working on me. And see, it's God's Spirit that has to do it. Because see, I was worried about what you guys thought with my children not coming to church, to be honest with you. And I had to self-examine myself. And I had to say, Lord, it doesn't matter what they say. Your Spirit is greater. You alone are God. And I had to commit them and let them go and put them in the hands of God. And the funny thing is I would tell people, just give them to the Lord. And the Lord would say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to give your children to me? And I'd be like, okay, Lord. I mean, he talks to me plainly. I don't know how he talks to you, but he knows how to get my attention. What are you saying all this for, Brother Sean? Because I can't save them and I can't change them. But I know a God who can. And I know God's Spirit is moving behind the scenes. God's Spirit is moving on our children. Because we have a covenant that reaches to 1,000 generations. And I'm going to claim the covenant for my children. And I'm going to see them saved. And there are those of you in here that I'm going to stand with. And we're going to see your children saved and Brother Venable's children saved. Because that's what God wants to do. He's in the soul saving business. And I don't care if they never come to this church as long as they get saved. That's the most important thing, my brother and sister. So many times we want to get people to come to the church. No, we need to get them saved. Them coming to church doesn't save them, doesn't change them. It's the Spirit of God that changes a man or woman. It's the blood of Jesus that changes a man or woman. I've had to take some things back that I've done and some mistakes that I've done. But I can't change Mike, and Mike can't change me. But there is a God that can. If we submit to Him and we let the Spirit of God work in us, He'll melt our hearts. We've got to stay tender before the Lord. Tender. Tender, tender, tender. We need to stay tender. We need to let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God beat our hearts. The Bible said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why is it so important for us to keep our heart? Because so many things can enter in. Anger, wrath, malice. All these things are ungodly. And I've had to deal with every single one of them. And I still deal with them. And I'm catching myself. And I'm grabbing myself. And I'm walking outside and saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle the situation, but you're going to help me. Because I never knew, because nobody told me, I had to walk through it, that your children can break your heart. Yeah, I heard it, but it's a whole other thing when you walk through it. Thank you for the amen to all you parents out there. Brother Mike won't know about that yet, but when he gets married and has children, if he gets married, that's up to the Lord. We'll leave that in His hands. And all you people that try to get Him hooked up with somebody, y'all need to quit that too. Let the Lord do it. I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all relax. God wants to move by... Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. Y'all know where I'm going. Acts 2. I got this at 5:15. God always waits till the last minute. I can't stand when He does that. But He's God. He can do that. And that's what we all need to recognize and realize. God can do whatever He wants to do. Because He's God. And God will do everything we allow Him to do that His Word says if we allow Him. But we have to allow Him. God is big enough to do whatever He wants to do. With all things, With God, all things are possible, the scripture says. All things are possible to them that believe. Believe in a forest? No. Believe in a church? No. No, believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start with verse 16, 2:16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I'm glad there's some good news about the last days. Because we're living in a day. We're living in the last of the last days. And we know perilous times are here. We know it's a terminal. We know it's perplexities. But I've got good news. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit. Oh, we need him to pour out his spirit, my brother and sister. Oh, we need him to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Oh, I'm glad that all flesh is in there. Because that means that every single one of our loved ones, anybody that we come across, can be saved if they want to be saved. When God said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that's why China's in revival. Because he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, you women in here that are handmaidens, get ready for the Spirit of God to be poured out on you. I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. We've got women today that are prophesying in the church. Prophecy, the scriptures being fulfilled when Ruth gives out a message in tongues. Thank you for the amen. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. God wants to move. God wants to save our children. God's Spirit is able to save to the uttermost. I didn't say us do anything. I said God's Spirit. I said the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to set the captive free. And thank God the same Spirit that Jesus had lives in each and every one of us. And the works he did, we can do. We just need to believe it. We need to believe. The scripture says that if we lay our hands on the sick, they shall recover. We need to believe that people are going to recover. We need to believe that if somebody comes and sick, we need to believe that God's going to touch them. Why? Because we're praying to an all-powerful, all-merciful, all-loving God. We're not praying to Muhammad. We're not praying to Baal. We're praying to God the Father. We're praying to God the Son. We're praying to God the Holy Spirit. Maybe y'all aren't excited enough about this message, but I am. Y'all just have to excuse me, because I'm excited that God's Spirit wants to move. If people don't want to be here on Sunday night when I minister, it's okay. I've come to accept it. I've come to only have a handful. Why? I'd rather have it that way, because I've seen miracles happen when there's only a handful of us. I can recall and I can recount times in my mama's house where God popped people's shoulders back into socket because he's an all-knowing, all-visible God, omnipresent God. It doesn't matter how big the service is, because we serve a great big God. And I'm not going to limit him because the pastor's not here, and I'm not going to limit him because there's only 9 of us. Thank you for the amen. And some of you who come in here need to not limit him either, like you limit him, because of who's here and not who's here. Let me tell you something. God's here, and God wants to move. If a sinner comes through those doors, or somebody that's bound, that sinner and that bound person can be set free by the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. We serve a great and mighty King, and he wants to move in our midst, and he wants to move for us individually. Will you believe him is the question of the hour. Will you let him move for you? I mean, y'all write checks knowing there's going to be money in that bank account when y'all go shopping for Christmas. God gave us some checks to write, and we need to write them, and we need to see them cashed. Thank you for the amen. Everything he told us in this word, we can expect to have. We can expect to receive. The question of the matter is, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds so we can receive some of these things.
Amen.
so we can allow God's Spirit to move, to flow in us. We get so wrapped up in our day-to-day life, and we get so tired and wore out from working and trying to make a living that it no wonder we're so worn down and we're so tired, because we don't let the Spirit of God renew us and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We don't let the Lord uphold us with the right hand of His righteousness. We try to do things in ourselves, like I said earlier, trying to save my own children, and I can't save them. And you can't save yours either. You got to just give them to God. My wife and I went through some things, and I would tell her to let bitterness go. And what was it, 3 Sundays ago? I was sitting right there on the other side of that pink bag of Ruth's, I believe it was. Right there. And Brother Bimbo talked about bitterness, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You need to let it go." I says, "I don't have bitterness, Lord." He says, "You need to let it go." I said, "Lord, then if I have bitterness, I release it, I renounce it in the name of Jesus." And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes things will creep in on you without you realizing it. But God knows, if you're sincere and you want to follow Jesus, God knows how to speak to you. God knows how to deliver you. You can be bitter sometimes and not know it. Because of circumstances in your home life that happen periodically and all the time. And I was bitter towards my wife about some things. Not that she's a bad wife, because she's not, but just everyday life. And I said, "Lord, forgive me for being bitter." But when the light comes on, and God sheds His light on a subject and on a matter, there is no denying it. There is no trying to run from it. You need to do business with God. And I'm telling you something, there's been a change since I've done business with my God between our relationship. Thank you for the amen. Because I allowed God's Spirit to move. And see, that's the issue of the day. It's not God wanting to move. He wants to move. But are we going to be man and woman enough of God to admit the failures and the faults that we have in our lives and say, "This is what God wants to work on me with, and this is what I need to let the Spirit of God work on me in"? Because God's Spirit wants to change us. Why? Because He's anointed and appointed us for such a time as this. There are going to be people that come through those doors, and we're going to be able to minister to them. Some of the hurts Brother Mike's gone through as a child, he's going to be able to minister to somebody and know and have compassion. Some of the hurts that I've been through, I'm going to be able to have compassion that you've been through. Because we've been through some things. God's taken us through some things. And we're going to be able to be ministers of righteousness. Ministers of love. That can minister healing to people that are hurting. Does no good for us if we can't minister God's love to somebody that's hurting and somebody that needs it. We need to be men and women enough of God to say, "Lord, I need your Spirit to work in me. And those dark places that I hold on to sometimes, and you just need to let go." Turn with me, please, to Psalm 62. I'm going to read this in closing. Hallelujah, because God is good. God's Spirit wants to move, my brother and sister. God's Spirit wants to move. He wants to change you and me. He wants to change. "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation." From a church? No, from God. "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. The only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Listen to me, for my expectation is from Him." I want you to have an expectant heart. Why? Because God is God, and He can do whatever He wants to do. I'm going to read that verse again. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. I'm not looking for this one to do anything for me or that one to do anything for me, but my God is going to deliver me. My God is my rock. My God is my fortress. See, it's all about Him. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Oh, that's not so easy to do all the time, is it, my brother and sister? It's kind of like giving God thanks at all times. And let His praise continually be in our mouth. We got some work to do, but we can do it. Because He's given us the grace, the mercy, and the Holy Spirit to do it. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. See, the Bible says, the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into Him. And they're safe. But so many times we don't run to God. Sometimes we run to people or friends or family. And all of these things are good in their place. But God has to be first. God has to be the first one we run to. And then when we run to God, then He can move and He can put people in our paths to help us if need be. But it needs to be the Lord that we run to first. It needs to be the Lord that is our refuge. It needs to be. See, I'm expecting God to do things because He's God, not because I'm so special, because I'm not so special in and of myself. Only by the grace of Almighty God. I'm only a peculiar people because of Him. Because His Word says so. Not because I am, but because His Word says so. And the same goes for you. We're a holy nation, not because I say so or you say so, but because His Word says so. And we need to believe what His Word says about us sometimes. I'm not going to get into all the hyper stuff, but I'm going to believe what God's Word says I am. If it says I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. It doesn't matter if I feel like I've been jerked through a knothole backwards or I'm down on one knee about to fall on my face. If God says we're more than conquerors, we're more than conquerors. I'm not looking at a bunch of defeated Christians. We can't go back to that. No man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We can't let the circumstances and the failures of 2009 come over into this new year. Let them be where they lay. We've got a brand new year. Let's believe God. Let's expect God to move like never before, because He's going to move. Amen. If we just expect Him to, He's going to move. You go to a football game. You expect your team to win. You expect them to get a first down so they can score a touchdown. I mean, that's why you're watching the game, so you can hope they can play. I mean, you know, the Florida Gators, they played pretty good the other night, 51 to whatever the final score was. Tim Tebow finally played a good game. He couldn't do it against Alabama, but, you know, that's for Brother Doug. It's okay. I love you, brother. He's a Florida Gator fan. It's okay. My team couldn't win their bowl game because they can't play in the cold. They're like the Bucks. Anyway, moving right along. I don't know why I got off on that. But we need to expect God to move. How many know it's income tax time? How many are expecting to get a big check back from the IRS? Or something from the IRS? We're expecting to get something from the IRS, right? Well, we need to expect God. We need to expect God to move. We need to expect God to... How many have got a birthday coming up this year? You expecting a birthday? Expecting to be a year older? You're expecting to get a card in the mail from somebody maybe? I mean, not maybe President Obama, but somebody might send you a birthday card. You're expecting that because it's your birthday, right? We need to expect God to move because He loves us. Because His Word declares it. It is no... If we can expect to receive a birthday card in the mail from somebody because it's our birthday, then we can expect to believe what God's Word says about us, and we can have whatever God's Word says about us. Now, it may not happen in our timing, but it will happen in the timing of Almighty God. Might be a week, might be a month, it might be a year, it might be 10 years, but it will happen in God's timing. Because in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of the Virgin. God sent His Son into this world in God's timing. God had a plan then, and God's got a plan now for you and for me and for this church. And God wants to move. Will you please stand? Can you give us something about the Spirit of God, brother? in worship. God wants to move by His sovereign Spirit. He's a holy God. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. How many have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? I did say the Holy Ghost for all you people to get this on CD. I did say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I did not stutter. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues according to the book of Acts. I'm not going to be ashamed of that when I minister. I'm going to declare it from the rooftop because I am a bona fide Holy Ghost filled man. I don't always yield to the Holy Ghost like I should, but I want to. And I think that's all the Lord really wants from us, is us to be willing to. I have high expectations of God and of myself, and I don't always meet them, and I get discouraged with myself. And I have to go to God, and I have to receive His grace, and I have to receive His love, and I have to receive His mercy, and it's not easy. You know, not easy being me sometimes. Just ask my poor old wife. She has to deal with me sometimes when I get bad attitudes. But I'm working on it. Been better the last 3-4 months. But when you go through hard times, God is faithful. God is faithful. And if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side and your side, our enemies would have swallowed us up. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, my brother and sister, our enemy would have prevailed over us. If God hadn't reached down and pulled you and me out of the miry clay at a time or two in our life, yes, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, He pulled us up out of the miry clay. Set our feet on the rock to stay. Why? Because He's God. Because we're human. We're frail. We get discouraged because sometimes we look at the circumstances instead of the God who changes the circumstances. Circumstances sometimes come at you and they come at me. They're meant for a purpose. Sometimes we fail and sometimes we succeed. But I believe this year we're going to learn how to succeed in everything that hits us. Because we're going to take some hits. We're not above taking hits, my brother and sister, and having the enemy attack us or us giving into our flesh. We still have a flesh to deal with. Paul said that's why I buffeted daily. Not be a golden corral every day, but buffeted daily. And then we need to buffet it daily. We need to get into the Scriptures daily. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus daily. Not wake up in the morning and do what we want to do, but do what the Spirit of God wants us to do. And it's not always an easy task. But I believe we can do it by the help and grace of God. How about you? And I believe we need to do it by the help and grace of God. Especially if we want to see God move. We can't do what we want during the week and then come in here on Sunday and expect God to move because it ain't going to happen. We have obligations and we all have jobs. Some of us do. We all have other obligations. And all those obligations are important. But we also have an obligation as a brother and sister in Christ to pray for one another. And if we don't pray for one another throughout the week, we all sin. We all sin. Every last dirty, rotten one of us. And I'm not being sarcastic, I'm being serious because it's serious. And I wonder how many times some of us hadn't have gone through some of the things that we would have done what the Scripture says and prayed for each other like we're supposed to. Because we've all failed at it. Don't look at me like you all have it, because we all have. Because we all go to work, we all come home, we get tired, we sit on the couch, and some of us fall asleep. I'm being gracious and as merciful as I can without beating us up, because I don't want you leaving here being beat up, but I wanted us to leave here being sober and being vigilant. And with it being a new year, not making resolutions, but a revolution and commitments to one another and to God, to pray for each other and to pray for kings and those that are in the rule over us so that we can live peaceably with all men as is possible, as the Scripture says. Because there are going to be those you can't always live peaceable with. You can go and you can humble yourself and you can wash people's feet, but not everybody's going to forgive you. Not everybody's going to love you. It's just the way it is. You talking from experience, Brother Sean? Yes, I am. Not everybody's going to receive you and love you, but God loves you, and God died for you, and God cares for you, and that's all that matters. God wants to give us some holy resiliency and give us a little bit of a rhinoceros skin, but a tender heart, as the pastor said. Our skin needs to get thickened. You know, I run into people all the time. I work for Publix, for those of you who don't know, and this can be for the CD. And I've got a lady that comes and shops in there all the time, who used to come to this church. And I invited them, her and her husband, to the New Year's Eve service. And I knew they probably wouldn't come, but I wanted to invite them. And I'm going to ask the congregation an opposing question. There are those of us that have left our church. And some of their marriages were wrecked up. What are you going to do when they walk through those doors? Or if they walk, are you going to have enough of the love of God in you and me to love them anyway? Because that's the bottom line. Is if we get, are we, if they walk through those doors, we knowing what the scripture says, and we know, are we going to be able to let God's love flow through us to them anyway? And let love cover multitudes and accept them regardless of what they've done? Because it doesn't matter. If they've asked for forgiveness, God is a God of restoration. God is a God of healing, and God is a God of forgiving. And we need to put that aside, and we need to put our flesh aside, and what we think doesn't matter. It's only what God thinks and what God's love in our hearts for them and God's word says. Because there are going to be those that have left. They're going to come back when God's Spirit begins to move. I believe that. I'm sorry. Maybe you don't want them to come back. I'm sorry. Don't ask God to move and then choose and pick who you want to come through those doors, because that's not going to happen. We can't pick and choose who comes to this church. Only God's Spirit can. How dare us try to pick and choose who we want to come to this church? That's God's business, not mine or not yours. We want to move with God, but we want to pick and choose who comes to this church? No, it doesn't work that way, my brother and sister. It doesn't work that way at all. And I'm sorry I'm being a little firm, but there are some times you just need to be, and I'm going to be right now. And in a loving manner, we can't pick and choose who comes to this church. We just need to let God's love flow when people do come through that door. They're going to become, I'll be honest, there are people that are going to come in and they're going to drive me nuts. But I'm going to have to love them anyway, like dinner. I love dinner too. She knows I'm just funning with her. She knows I'm funning with her, but I want you to go home and pray about that all week, because when God's Spirit begins to move, how many expect it to move? I mean, sincerely, when we expect, if we expect God's Spirit to move, whoever walks through those doors, we're going to have to embrace and love anyway. So we're going to have to get our chips off of our shoulders and really come to Jesus meeting with ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to love them anyway. And we're going to find out if we can do this thing or not. God's going to put us to the test.
Amen.
Yes, he has. He's done that, but it's going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Trust me. Believe you me, there are those I think that want to come back. They're just afraid to. I've been praying for them, and I want to see them come back. I want to see these walls bust out, not necessarily for those that come back, but also fresh souls saved.
Amen.
And the backsliders. There are people that I believe are called here, that left here. And now their marriages are busted up and they're backslidden. Are you saying that's what happened to them? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. Look, we all have a flesh to deal with. I've got a flesh to deal with, and I'm going to be honest. If I went to some other churches, I'd probably be backslid, because they don't crucify the flesh. They don't tell you to crucify the flesh in other churches. I've been around. Believe it or not, I've gotten around. And believe me, God's got me here because I have a weak flesh, and he wants me to crucify it. And God's Spirit speaks to me, and he speaks to y'all. And that's why we're here. And that's why God has a nucleus here, so he can move, he can direct, he can cleanse, and he can set free. Just give us some worship, Doug. Just worship the Lord. Let God's Spirit work.